This morning, we are in Ephesians. Once again, we are working our way through the book of Ephesians here on Sunday morning, and we are coming to verses 13 and 14. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll jump into this. Lord, we love you. Thank you, Lord, that you did do it all, that you purchased our salvation, our redemption, that that work is done, that you did win the war, And because of that, we can win the battles. And so this morning, I pray that you would just breathe life into us, that your word would go forth in power through the ministry of your Spirit, that you would give us today just a fresh glimpse of who we are in you and what it means that we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I said, we are continuing our study here in the book of Ephesians, and we have been taking our time going through these first 14 verses, because in these first 14 verses, Paul is really, in this really long sentence that has been called the peak of the Mount Everest of what the book of Ephesians is often referred to. And he's going through all of these statements that talk about who we are in Christ. And these statements are profound, they're doctrinal, they're foundational, they're statements that give some incredible insight into our position in Christ, the resources that we have in Christ, and the blessings that flow to us because we are in Christ. And these are statements that really reflect who we are to God and who Christ is in us. Now, in our last study, we looked at verses 7 through 12 and how Paul wants us to know that we are in the know, but we are also in the plan. That in Christ, God has made known to us the mystery of his will. And he lays it out for us there by saying that he's bringing everything together in heaven and earth in Christ. And God wants us to be in the know. And so that mystery, that word mystery means the things that were once hidden have now been revealed. And so in other words, the things that the people in the Old Testament didn't get, that they didn't understand, we now who are in the new covenant, who have this relationship with Jesus, we understand how it's all coming together in Jesus. And so Paul really, you know, wanted to be clear that we would understand that we are in the know, but he also wanted us to know that we are in the plan. And we found and talked about last week that's because in Christ we have this inheritance. And part of that inheritance is, yes, what we're going to experience in heaven. But another part of that inheritance is our being involved in his kingdom both now and in the future when Jesus Christ returns. But we ended our time last week by answering the question that maybe rises in the hearts of some of, well, how do I know for sure that this is what God has for me? How do I know for sure that this is really going to happen? And Paul answers that question in verses 13 and 14 by telling us that God has given us a guarantee of our inheritance, and that guarantee is the seal of the Holy Spirit. And so today we're going to talk about what does it mean for you and I as believers in Jesus Christ to be sealed with the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 13. In him, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Now notice that phrase again in verse 13. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. The gospel of your salvation. And I don't want you to miss this, that becoming a Christian doesn't start by doing something, but becoming a Christian starts by hearing something. And what is it that we hear? We hear a word. We hear a message. We heard the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ left heaven and came to this earth and went to a cross in order to rescue us from the penalty of sin. We heard the truth. And Paul says that in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But here's what we need to understand. The truth is not an ideology. It's not a philosophy. No, the truth is a person. The truth is Jesus himself. In fact, Jesus would follow up that statement of, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free, by saying in verse 36 of John 8, therefore, if the Son makes you free, because the Son, he's the truth, you shall be free indeed. In fact, Jesus would say to his disciples in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to the Father except by me. And I want you to note that that's an absolute statement that Jesus makes in a world where people like to say, there is no absolute truth. There is no absolute statements. Everything is relative. And Jesus says, no, I am the way, not a way. I am the truth, not a truth. And I am the life, not a life. And no one can come to the Father except through me. I am it. I am the door, he would say. And then he would back up that statement that after he died on the cross to pay the price for our sins, that 3 days later he rose again from the dead and he lives. And so it's that truth that we trusted in, that we believed, that we rested the whole weight of your salvation and your eternal destiny on the person of Jesus Christ. And God responded to you doing that by sealing you with his Holy Spirit. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to be sealed with the Holy Spirit? There's five things that I want us to consider this morning about that, and kind of break this down and give some insight to us that in Christ, what it means that in Christ that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. So if you're taking notes, number one, the seal speaks of ownership. In first century culture, goods were often shipped in crates on big boats. And on that crate, there would be placed a seal. And in first century commerce, a seal was made by placing melted wax on a purchased possession and then cutting an impression in that wax with a signet ring. And the signet ring would bear the identity. It would bear the symbol. It would bear the initials of the owner. And so the image in the wax was something tangible that anybody could look at and go, okay, we know this belongs to Sean because there's his initials, there's his mark, his signet on this crate. And so it identified to anybody that would look at it. And the Holy Spirit, this is what Paul is wanting us to understand when he says that we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit, is the Holy Spirit seals us or marks us as those belonging to God. In fact, Paul would say in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That God's Spirit inside of you is bearing witness, reminding, encouraging you, your spirit, on a daily basis. Hey, you are God's. You belong to him. You see, I think a lot of us have had times in our Christian walk where we've doubted our salvation. Any of you ever doubt your salvation before? Man, I've had times where I did that. There was a time when I was younger. I used to always think that just it was in my mind that I was going to miss the rapture, that the rapture was going to happen and I was going to be left behind. And one day I came home. I was probably about maybe 12 years old, and I came home into my house and everything in that, the doors were open, the garage door was open, the television was on, lights were on, but my parents and my brother were nowhere to be found. And I was sure the rapture had happened and I had been left behind, you know? And we wrestle with that at times. When I was in college, I led a Bible study group, a home group up at Calvary Costa Mesa. And one night we were having a time of prayer. I know this is really bad, but we were having a time of prayer and one of the guys in the group fell asleep. And I convinced everybody in the group real quietly to all take our shoes off and go hide in another room. So when he woke up, he thought the rapture happened, because when the rapture happens, our shoes stay behind. You know that, right? No, that was a poster. And so I don't think there's any biblical truth to that, but I know that was really bad, but kind of shook him up. I don't think he ever fell asleep again in a prayer meeting. But you know, at the same time that maybe you've wrestled with that, maybe you've had a bad day, maybe you've been in a place where it's like, man, am I really, really saved? At the same time, everyone who is a true believer has experienced that stamp of God upon our lives, the Holy Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And one of the things the Lord showed me during that time when I really struggled with that is, well, we're told in 1 John that we walk by faith and not by sight. That this walk that we are in with God, it's a walk of faith. It's not one of feeling. And we have to lean upon that and lean upon truths like this, that we've been sealed and the Holy Spirit is bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. In fact, in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul put it this way, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, and He's crying out, 'Abba, Father.'" And you guys know that word Abba means daddy. And so think about this. Every single day on a daily basis, you wake up and God's Spirit inside of you is calling out Abba, daddy. In other words, every single day, the Spirit of God inside of us is pulling us in a direction toward intimacy with God. That's one of the reasons, I've told you this before, why when you get up, you get this sense like, you know what? I should spend some time with God today. I should read my Bible before I get off the work, before I should really just pause and spend some time. You get that sense, not because you've heard me say that you should do that or you read that in a book somewhere, but because the very Spirit of God, it's bigger. The very Spirit of God inside of you is calling you, pulling you toward God. And that's that work of that ownership of God. And so the first thing the seal of the Holy Spirit speaks of is ownership. God has put His seal on us. He has marked us because He purchased us as His own by the blood of Jesus Christ. The second thing that this word seal, the sealing, speaks of is a finished transaction. You see, even today when legal documents are processed, they are stamped with a seal to signify their completion. And so too, when you exercise faith in the work of Jesus on the cross to save you and pay the price for your sins, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. And the seal of God upon your life, His Spirit in your heart, is signifying that your salvation is finished, that your salvation is complete. That there's no need for you to try to do anything to add to the work that Jesus Christ has done. In fact, there is nothing that you can do to add to it, to make it better or more complete. Your salvation is perfect, and all that is needed for you to be saved is to believe in and embrace and put your trust in what Jesus Christ has accomplished on your behalf. Think of it this way. You know, Rembrandt and Monet were two very famous artists. And their works are considered to be masterpieces. In fact, did you know that a Rembrandt painting today is worth $34 million? Think about that. A Monet is worth $45 million. Now, let's just say that there was somebody who actually, you know, would spend that much money for one of those paintings, and they get it and they bring it home and they put it up on the wall. And as they're looking at it, they think, you know, this is good, but I really think that if I just added a little bit of color right here, it would make it a lot better. Now think about that. If somebody did that, even in just the slightest way that they took and made a little slight mark on that, you know what? It wouldn't improve upon it at all. It would actually deem that painting as worthless. It would be worthless because it would be ruined in the eyes of the entire art community. And you know, the same thing is true with our salvation. Our work of salvation is complete, and there's nothing that you and I can do to add to it by our human effort. And when we try to add to it, we actually ruin it. When we think, you know what, I'm going to read today 10 chapters out of the Bible. In fact, 10 chapters from the book of Leviticus so that God just will love me even more, you know. All those chapters about sacrifices and all that. I'm gonna read all of that. So God loves me even more. You know what? That doesn't add to your salvation. It ruins it. The work of Jesus Christ is complete. There's nothing that you can do. There's nothing that you and I can do that can make God love us anymore. There's nothing that you and I can do to change our status before God in any way. Now, I will say this, reading the Bible is good. We need to do that because what it does do is it enhances our knowledge of who God is and his heart for us. It grows us in our intimacy with God, but it doesn't do anything to change your status before God. Giving, as we just did as a part of our worship, is another great thing to do in partnering with God in his ministry and what he's doing here and in the world. But you know what? God's not looking and going, okay, man, he gave. Awesome. I love him a little bit more. No, not at all. There's nothing that we can do that changes our status in any type of way because what Jesus did on the cross, it's complete. It's like I tell you all the time, and I'll probably never stop telling you this. From the cross, Jesus cried out, what? It's finished. He didn't cry out almost or halfway. No, it's done, and the work is done. And that sealing of the Holy Spirit speaks of the fact that that work that Jesus did on our behalf on the cross, that it's a finished transaction. The third thing that it speaks of, the sealing of the Holy Spirit, is something that seal on something was the fact that it's authentic. A seal on a letter was like a signature or the personal letterhead of the king. His seal would be placed upon it to stand for the fact that it was authentic, that this really came from the king's office. It came from his hand. And even today, if you get an official document of any sort, a government document, it has a seal of our government upon it. And it's it authenticates the fact that it's valid. If you have an American passport that's an official government document and it has the seal of the United States of America on it, and so what does that passport do? It authenticates you that you are a citizen of this country. Now, sometimes a seal is used in the context of art or something that a person would create or make and they put their seal on it. Or their signature on it, signifying that, hey, this is real. This isn't phony. This isn't a counterfeit in any way. And so too, the Holy Spirit seals us or marks us as those belonging to God by stamping us with the image of Jesus who's purchased us. You see, the mark of a believer's authenticity is that as we grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ, we are actually bearing his image. Remember, it was said in Acts chapter 4. The religious leaders had taken Peter and John and they had been interrogating them and hassling them. And after it was all said and done, when they were sending them away, it says they marveled that those guys were uneducated and untrained men. So they were really surprised at their knowledge of Scripture. But then they said this, and we could tell that they had been with Jesus. That was the defining mark. They looked at them and they're like, these two, they remind us of that Jesus guy that we killed. That Jesus guy that we didn't like. And they're just like him. And you know what? That's the best thing that anybody could ever say about you is that they can tell that you've been with Jesus. They can tell that you've been in his presence. Because you know what? Jesus is the best thing about every single one of us. And one of the best things that somebody can say about your life, they can say about you, is that they can tell, hey, you know what? You remind me of Jesus. And this is one of the things that the Holy Spirit is seeking to do in our lives, is it's seeking to, he's imprinted the seal upon us as the very image of Jesus, his heart, his mind. Paul talks about in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And if you read the fruit of the Holy Spirit that he mentions there, where love is really the primary fruit, and all of the other things he mentions like kindness and joy and all of that are aspects of love, that joy is love's rejoicing. And all of that, though, is this beautiful description of Jesus. And it's those elements of who Jesus is, the more that we are growing in our relationship with him, that they're coming out of our lives. Where we hate the things that he hates and we love the things that he loves. And the Holy Spirit sealing us and sanctifying us is the expression of his infinite delight and passion for the world to see Jesus in you and in me, that he's at work expressing and making Jesus visible and tangible in the unique personality of every single believer. And that's the beauty of the body of Christ, that Jesus is exemplifying. The Holy Spirit is seeking in that sanctification process. He's molding us and shaping us, is that idea, that it's this ongoing process of him, you know, making us and wanting to make us bear more and more the image of Jesus in our own personalities, so that every single one of us becomes this living, breathing, visible, tangible picture of who Jesus is in the way that God has wired us and formed us. What's interesting, though, about seals and wax is that you could not affix the seal to hardened wax. The wax has to be soft. Soft wax, that so that the impression could be made. And this reminds us of the importance of keeping our hearts soft before the Lord. What is it that keeps our hearts soft? Well, it's his word. It's the word of God. The Bible says that you and I, that we're clay and God's the potter. And if you've ever worked with clay before, what do you do when the clay starts to get hard? You add water to it and it softens us. And that's what God's word does, is it softens us. It has this way of transforming us as we get into God's word and we allow it to get into us, that it molds us, it shapes us, it softens us. And so the sealing of the Holy Spirit is that mark of authenticity of our faith. The image of Jesus Christ being imprinted in us. Now, if that's not apparent, you know, somebody claims to be a Christian and they have been a Christian, you know, they say, you know, they've been a Christian for a really, really long time, but you look at them and there's nothing about them that bears the image of Jesus. We have to really question the authenticity of their profession. Because Jesus said, hey, you'll know them by their fruits. And when the fruit of the Holy Spirit, when we're yielded to that, the Holy Spirit and him sealing us and that impression that he's seeking to do in our lives, that we find ourselves growing and becoming more like Jesus. And so, number three, the seal speaks of authenticity. Number four, the seal speaks of security and protection. When something was sealed, it spoke of being the personal property of a person or an organization, and it wasn't to be tampered with. In fact, if the boat arrived and on that crate that bore your seal, if that seal was broken in any way, or if that crate was opened, the captain and his whole crew would be in trouble. When the king would take and write a letter to someone and roll it up in a scroll, and he would take and seal that scroll with that wax and his signet ring. And if that scroll was that seal was broken by the time it arrived at its destination, to its the recipient of who the king wrote the letter to, that messenger could be executed for tampering with that seal. And so that seal speaks of security and protection. And God has put his seal upon us, and that seal of the Spirit of God means that he has secured us as the people of God. And guess what? That means that Satan can't tamper with us. He can't undo what God has already done. That's why we say that as Christians, we're fighting not for victory, but from victory, because the war has already been won by Jesus, and that means you and I, we can win the battles. Satan can't actually do anything that God doesn't allow him to do. And one thing that God will not allow him to do is to undo what God has already done. Jesus put it this way in John chapter 10, that no one can snatch you out of his hand. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, Paul also talks about this sealing of the Holy Spirit. And he makes the statement that we have been sealed for the day of redemption. And another way to think about the day of redemption is that it's the day of collection. It's the day when God takes me to be with him. It's the day when we enter into that glorified state. Paul says we've been sealed into the day of redemption. In other words, God is going to keep you and I secure until he gets us to the place where he takes us and he glorifies us. You know, the Bible says, Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians, that this mortal is going to put on immortality. Isn't that crazy to think about? Thursday night, dear sister in our body, Connie Brooker, who's been battling cancer for a long time, she went home to be with Jesus. Right there in the arms of her beloved husband, Rob. And think about this. She breathed her last here on this earth after a long struggle, and she was ready. My wife and I had met with them a couple weeks before, and she was ready. I mean, she was just so ready. She breathed her last, and I met with Rob on Friday, and he said, you know, it was hard, but then at that moment, it was like just so peaceful and so calm. She breathed her last here, and she opened her eyes in glory, and the mortal had put on immortality, brand new body, no more pain, absolute perfection. Isn't that amazing to think about? And Paul's saying we're sealed unto the day of redemption when God collects us and he glorifies us. God wants us to live, you see, with the assurance of what he tells us in the book of Philippians, that he who has begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. What he's saying is this: if somebody is an authentic believer, you're going to make it. God is going to get you to the desired destination, which is glory, which is heaven. And so that is also what he's talking about here when he's talking about the fact that we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, that there is a sense of security and protection. You're going to make it. The fifth thing that is meant by this idea of being sealed with the Spirit is found here in verse 14, if you notice it again. Paul says that God has given the Holy Spirit as the guarantee of our inheritance. And this same idea is presented for us in two other places in the New Testament. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, Paul wrote this: "He who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us in God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." He also said in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 5, in that chapter where he's talking about heaven, he's talking about our new bodies, he's talking about what is waiting for us. He'll say in there that to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And then he says this in 2 Corinthians 5, 5, "Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee." And this idea of the Holy Spirit sealing us as a guarantee, There's two ideas with this. The first is that of what we would call earnest money, or a down payment, a promise note. Somebody's, you know, you're gonna buy a new car, and what do? You put a down payment down on that car, or you put a down payment down on that house. I mean, even sometimes, you know, you go to a garage sale, maybe you see something that's too big to go in your car, and you say, you know what, I'll be right back. I'm gonna go get my friend's truck so that I can take this, and just so you know I'm serious, you know, here's $50 as a down payment that I'm coming back for this. And this is the idea. That God, the Father, is saying to you and I who are His children, He's saying to you and I who are His bride, this is what's waiting for you. This is the inheritance that you have in my Son. This is what I've planned for you, and it's going to be glorious, and it's going to be awesome. And just so you know that I'm going to come through on the promise, I'm giving you a down payment, my Holy Spirit in your hearts. Isn't that awesome? But the Spirit as a guarantee also speaks of something else. You see, that term guarantee in that culture was also used to describe an engagement ring. And what happens when a young man finds the girl of his dreams? And he falls in love with her, and he's getting ready, you know, to pop the question. What does he do? I mean, he saves up his money, and then he empties his bank account to go and buy that ring, right? I mean, he might sell his surfboard, his skateboard, his motorcycle, his brother and sister if he can, you know, in order to save up enough to buy that ring. So that on that day when he takes her and they, you know, they have just a real special day, and then there comes that moment and he gets down on one knee. All you single guys, this is how you should do it. I didn't do it this way, but this is how you should do it. And he says, you know, I just want you to know I love you. I want you to spend I want to spend the rest of my life with you. I think you're amazing. I think that God has just blessed me by bringing you into my life. And I want to know if you'll marry me. And he opens up that little ring box and he presents it there to her. And what is he saying? He's saying, look, I'm serious about this. And this is how serious I am. I want you to wear this. I want you to wear this. And so that ring to him is signifying the seriousness of his promise. And that's what God says of you and I. He says, you know, you're my bride. And I'm going to bring you into myself, and we're going to have a wedding feast, and I can't wait for that to happen. And just so you know that I'm serious, that I'm going to come follow through on this. Here's your engagement ring, church. That's what this means from God's perspective. It's that down payment. It's that engagement ring that He's going to follow through on the promise. But here's something I always like to consider. When we think about this particular picture, the context is what this means to God. But I think it's also really, really good for you and I to consider what it means to us. Because in the picture, in the analogy, we're the girl. We're the bride. We're the one that gets the engagement ring. And we put it on our finger, and that engagement ring on a woman's finger, it signifies several things. To the world, it signifies that she's taken. So that, you know, when other single guys, they look at her and they see that ring, it's like, oh, she's spoken for already. She's taken. She belongs to another. The sealing of the Holy Spirit on our hearts and us bearing the image of Christ and growing and becoming more like Him is a symbol to the world that, hey, He's taken, she's taken. They belong to another. They understand that this world is not their home, that we're just passing through. But that ring on the finger of that young lady is also a constant reminder to her of what's coming. That she's no longer going to be alone. That she's no longer going to be single. It's a reminder that soon things are going to change. She's going to change her name. She's going to become Mrs. So-and-so, and it's going to, her identity changes on her driver's license and all her legal documents, that now she's identified with someone else. And it's this constant reminder also of the discontent that she feels in her singleness, that it is soon going to be satisfied. You know, a lot of people who are single and they want to be married, they feel that discontentment. They feel that sense of like, oh, I just want to be married one day. Now, I know some people that are at a place where they just, you know, they really don't have that desire anymore in their life, and that's fine. But for a lot of people that are single, they have that yearning, that desire. And when they finally get engaged and they have that ring is that constant reminder that, hey, this is all going to change. And we've had some cold nights lately, haven't we? It's been cold here. Now, I was talking to a friend of mine just a couple days ago. He lived in Indiana. It was 50 below in Indiana last week. So let's not complain about it being cold here. But on those cold winter nights, you know, she climbs into bed and she pulls the covers up and she looks at that ring and she thinks to herself, you know, I'm not going to need this pretty soon. I'm not going to need this, you know, electric blanket anymore, because there's going to be a warm body in this bed with me, you know. She goes to the park and she sees a married couple walking hand in hand, and she looks at them and she realizes, that's going to be me one day. And it's that longing that is in her heart. And so too, God's Spirit in our heart is a constant reminder concerning the discontentment that we feel inside our hearts about this place. And the Holy Spirit sealing us and in our hearts reminds us constantly that we are made for another, that we've been made for God and we've been made for another place. The Bible says that God has actually put eternity into our hearts. And guys, this is so important for us to catch. And I'm almost done, and I want you just to tune in here. I wrote a whole book about this. It's in our bookstore called Longings of the Soul. But it's this whole idea that the discontent that all of us feel, the wrestling that we feel, the frustration that we sometimes feel is actually natural and normal. Because it's built in. That if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have a built-in longing for two things. The first is intimacy with God. The Holy Spirit in your heart pulling you on a daily basis toward intimacy, pulling you in the direction of your Father, pulling you in the direction of Abba, pulling you to spend time with Him. But also, there is in our hearts every single day, because of God's Spirit having sealed us, and He's the guarantee, He's that engagement ring inside of our hearts, is that constant reminder to us that this world is not our home, that we don't belong here, that God has something else for us. And if you realize that, the happier you will be. And the more that you'll realize that the reason for your wrestling, your frustration, your discontentment is not because you need a better this or that, or you need another one of these or those, but actually what's going on is you're never ever going to feel completely content until you are in His presence, until you are with Him face to face. That there's a new life awaiting us in a new place. And the yearnings in my heart, the discontentment I feel inside, is really because God is wanting me to understand that I belong to another. I belong somewhere else. And when you realize that, when you grab a hold of that, life starts to make sense. Starts to make sense. So that ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, pulling us in that direction of intimacy with God, and we need to respond to that. Okay, I need to respond and understand this is what He's doing. And that Holy Spirit in our hearts reminding us that we exist for an eternal purpose, and we need to live like that. You see, too many Christians, that they live frustrated because they forget that what we do here is really all about what happens there. It's the role we have to play in the kingdom. We forget that later is longer. This life is a short walk in the park compared to eternity. And God's Spirit inside of us is constantly wanting to remind us of that. And so being sealed with the Holy Spirit speaks of the fact that the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance. It speaks of ownership, that we belong to God. It speaks of the fact that our salvation is a finished transaction. It speaks of the fact that our salvation, our relationship with God, is authentic because we're bearing the image of Jesus. And it speaks of the fact that there is a security and protection that what God promised, He is going to deliver on. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this beautiful picture that You have painted for us in Your Word of what it means to be sealed with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray for every single one of us in this room that we would just learn to walk in that reality. To walk by faith in the reality that our salvation is secure. To walk by faith in the reality that we belong to You. That You have purchased us with the blood of Jesus Christ. And You love us and You are for us. That we would walk in the reality that we belong to another. That Your Spirit is reminding us of the reality that You desire intimacy with each one of us. And reminding us that this world is not our home. Lord, we rejoice today in who You are and what You've done. And what it means for us to be in Christ. Thank You, Lord.